Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter on Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. As we have seen going through these segments concerning the Sabbath, that God made the Sabbath for man. God made it as a day of a blessing. And some people are surely going to say, well, he made it for the Jews, and the Jews are going to say, yes, that's for us. Really? Is that true? What does the Bible teach? And even in the Old Testament. Now, as we've already seen, we are told that we have the Holy Writings, which then, as Paul was writing to Timothy, are the Old Testament books that through Christ are able to lead you to salvation. And we have seen that the one who was Jesus Christ was the one who created the heavens and the earth, who created man and woman, who made the Sabbath and sanctified it and blessed it. Now, last time we ended up where you need to seek God. You need to repent of your ways, your thoughts. Now, let's see what God says our thoughts need to be. Let's continue right on here in Isaiah 56 and verse 1. Let's see, and we're going to find all the way through in everything that we're studying concerning the seventh-day Sabbath that it is a blessing. It is a special time, a holy time, that God set aside so that he could fellowship with us and we with him. Now, Isaiah 56, thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness. What is righteousness? All your commandments are righteousness. For my salvation is near to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Now, think of that for just a minute. This is talking about the return of Jesus Christ. Notice what he says in conjunction with salvation. And notice what he says in conjunction with his righteousness and our relationship to him. Verse 2, blessed is the man who does this, not cursed. He doesn't say, cursed is the man who does this. As some religionists would tell you if you said, well, I want to keep the Sabbath. Don't you know you're under the law? And they don't even know what that term means. Blessed is the man that does this, and the Son of Man who lays hold on it, who keeps the Sabbath from profaning it. How do you profane the Sabbath? By doing your own ways, by doing your own works, by doing your own business, by doing your own pleasure. And by flipping God off by saying, well, that's not important. Let me ask you a question here. I want you to think about this. If God is creator, and is perfect, which he is, and his law is perfect, which it is, and Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, what makes men think that their opinions are greater than the Word of God? You ever thought of that? It's the Word of God that is sacred, not human opinion. And the first thing a person will say, well, I think, or I suppose. Now, where is that going to lead? With a carnal mind that's hostile to God, not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That's why people hate the Sabbath. And they think, well, I'll do my own way. Well, what if that brings a curse upon you because you're breaking the laws of God? Have you ever thought about that? Why did God give the Sabbath in the first place? As a blessing. Now notice, who keeps the Sabbath from profaning it and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Now what does that mean? Does that not mean keeping all the commandments of God? Does that not mean what Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall man live? Of course it does. Well, we're Gentiles and we don't have to keep the Sabbath. That's for the Jews. Let's read it here, verse 3. and do not let the son of a stranger, who is not an Israelite, but a Gentile, who has joined himself to the Lord, speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. And do not let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Now that says an awful lot, doesn't it? Have you ever stopped to think about this verse? Everything that this is saying, this is telling us a lot. To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me. Did you know that we can please God? Do you understand that? Are you going to please God by doing your own thing in your own ways? No. You please God by doing the things that He commands. You please God by loving Him. You please God by seeking His ways. You please God by repenting to Him. You please God by remembering His truth. You please God because you are His workmanship created in Christ to live your life according to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. That's how you please God. Is not keeping the Sabbath then pleasing God? Let's put it the other way. Since God gave the Sabbath commandment and it said, remember it and keep it holy. If you profane it and reject it and don't keep it holy, the seventh day from sundown Friday to sundown Sabbath, if you don't do it, are you not profaning it? Are you not then sinning? Because sin is a transgression of the law. And if you go to church every Sunday, have you ever thought about this? That if you reject the Sabbath, which is sinning, and you keep Sunday and you try and keep it holy, do you think that's pleasing to God? Of course not. Oh, well, the churches have done it for centuries. Does that make it right? Does that not add to your sin of breaking the Sabbath by adding your own self-righteousness to keep Sunday? And I've heard Protestant preachers say, this is the day the Lord has made. Not for the day of worship. The day that the Lord made for worship is a seventh-day Sabbath. Not Sunday. Now let's go on here. Notice what's going to happen. In keeping the Sabbath, and this shows that even in the Old Testament, true to what we read in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, that the Holy Writings will lead us to salvation. Notice, this section of Scripture is talking about a time of salvation when Christ returns. And it's talking about the reward, as Jesus said, in my Father's house are many abodes or offices. Verse 5, even to them, that is the eunuchs and the stranger, I will give within my house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters, and I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Is that not eternal salvation? Does not Jesus say to those in Revelation, the second chapter, that when they receive salvation judged according to their works, that I'll give you a new name? You see, you need to understand this. The Bible does not fight against itself. There is the unity of Scripture between Old Testament and New Testament, between the words of God that He gave to Israel and the teachings of Jesus Christ that He gave to the Christians, those who would become Christians. There's a unity. There's not a division. Now let's continue, verse 6. Notice what he says. Also, the sons of the stranger who join themselves to the Lord to serve Him, to love the name of the Lord, to be His servants, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and takes hold of my covenant, even I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. That is eternal salvation. All right. Someone's going to say, well, you're reading in the Old Testament. Okay, so I have been. But that's a prophecy of the future, isn't it? Let's come to the New Testament. Let's come to Mark, the second chapter, and see what Jesus himself said. Now, do you believe Jesus? Right? Do you believe the words of Jesus? Do you believe what he spoke? You know, Paul warned Timothy about those who did not adhere to the sound words and teachings of Jesus Christ. They were to avoid them, all right? What did Jesus say concerning the Sabbath day? He was the one who created it, correct? We already covered that. Genesis, the second chapter. Everyone who keeps it's going to be blessed. Now, let me ask you another question. Is your life in turmoil and a mess and feel like it's a curse? Could it be that you're breaking the Sabbath? Could it be that you could begin to break that bond of cursing by keeping the Sabbath the way God intends? Now let's come to Mark, the second chapter, and let's see what Jesus said about the Sabbath in relationship to himself. And remember that we saw all things were created by Jesus, who became the Word, who became flesh. He was the one who did the creating there in Genesis, the first chapter. He's the one who created man. He is the one who created and blessed the seventh day. He is the one who said that Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. He is the one who gave the fourth commandment concerning the Sabbath day. He is the one who said through the prophet Isaiah that if the stranger and if the son of the stranger and the eunuchs will keep my Sabbath, they will be blessed. Now let's see what he says in the New Testament about himself in relationship to the Sabbath day, and also about human beings in relationship to the seventh day. Mark, the second chapter, after a dispute that he had with the Pharisees, he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man." Now that's a blanket statement, isn't it? God made it at the beginning and intended it to be all the way through the time of the existence of man, because the seventh day was the day that he gave. And when the children of Israel were going through the wilderness, they got manna 6 days a week, but none on the seventh day for 40 years. Now, let's see what he said here. "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath," which means this: man has no jurisdiction over the Sabbath. If man says it's done away, he's a liar. If man says, "Well, that's God's opinion, I'm going to work," that's sin. One man who was informed, a man who understood about the Sabbath, and he was talking with his older son, and he was pointing out to him the Sabbath day, and he said, "Well, if God had come down here and say, keep the Sabbath, I'll keep it. But if he doesn't do it, I'm not going to keep it." Well, the fact is, God did. He was with Adam and Eve. He was with Abraham. He was with the children of Israel and told them, keep the Sabbath. How many times must God come down and do it? What did he say here through Christ? "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath." And he came in the flesh, because the children of Israel said, "Oh, we can't stand to hear the voice of God. Moses, you speak with us, and we will hear what you tell us. But don't let God speak with us." And so then Christ came. And his words are recorded here. He did come to the earth. He did tell you. Notice what else he says. Verse 28. "Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day." Now, how many times does God have to say he is Lord of the Sabbath day? Is not once sufficient? Think about it. All right. Let's come to the epistle of 1 John chapter 3, and let's follow up on what we covered earlier, that yes, a man or woman can please God. If you're loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being, is that not pleasing to God? If you're obeying the voice of God and keeping His commandments, is that not pleasing to Him? If you are keeping the Sabbath day, which He said He blessed, and which He said that if you keep it, you'll be blessed, is that not pleasing to Him? Stop and think. How many people are keeping the Sabbath day? Very few. But let's come here to 1 John, the third chapter, and let's see something that's very important for us to understand. Let's come here to verse 18. Let's see what John said and how we can please God. My little children, we should not love in word nor with our tongues. Rather, we should love in deed and in truth. Do you love God? Do you love your neighbor? Do you love those who are of Christ also? And if you consider yourself a Christian, does your church show the love of God because the brethren love each other because they love God? And it's part of the way that they live, not just platitudes and sweet words, but action and deeds. Now, verse 19, key verse. And in this way we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. Isn't that something? Do you know you are of the truth of God? All of His commandments are true. All of His statutes are true. His law is true. Do you love the law of God? Or do you hate it? Do you think that Jesus came as a rebel to do away with the laws of God? Matter of fact, He's the lawgiver. And James wrote in James 4 that if you judge the law, then you're no longer a doer of the law, but you are a judge. And who are you judging? God. Now notice, he says here, that if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things, because we can repent. Why does your conscience strike you when you do things that are wrong? Because it's sin. And God is letting you know that's wrong. So therefore, you can repent. Go to God. He'll forgive you. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, then we have confidence toward God. How is it that our hearts don't condemn us? If we do the things that are pleasing in God's sight, and if we're keeping His commandments and keeping the Sabbath day, don't you think that as God looks down on this whole earth, of all the billions of people that are there, how many are really seeking Him? How many are really loving Him? How many are really keeping His Sabbath days? Very few. But here's a guarantee for doing it. Verse 22, and whatever we may ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and practice those things that are pleasing in His sight. In 1 John 3, that's a tremendous section of the Scripture, isn't it? Is this what you're doing? You can start doing it by start keeping the Sabbath, by starting to understand the Word of God, to realize that God is desiring, as we read last time, in seeking God, He is desiring a relationship with you that is spiritual. He's desiring that you love Him because He loves you. Let's notice here, verse 23, and this is His commandment that we believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and that we love one another exactly as He gave commandment to us. And the one who is keeping His commandments, notice that, present tense, are you one of those? Are you keeping the commandments of God? And if you go on to our website, cbcg.org, and you listen to the sermons that we have done on God's grace and commandment keeping, you will see that in the New Testament, and according to what the New Testament teaches, we keep the commandments of God through His grace. There's no battle between grace and commandment keeping. That's a religious figment of the imagination of theologians and people who reject the word and truth of God. Notice verse 24. and the one who keeps his commandments is dwelling in him. The Spirit of God is dwelling in you, and he in him, Christ in you, and that's the hope of glory. And the truth is, if you don't keep the commandments of God, you don't have the Spirit of God, regardless of the warm, fuzzy feeling you may feel in your heart, regardless if you've been told that you have been born again, regardless of what a preacher would assure you, and even twisting the scriptures would read out of the Bible and tell you that this is what God wants. Hallelujah, we are free from the Sabbath, we keep Sunday. And everyone thinks, oh, that's so great. No. The one who keeps his commandments is dwelling in him and he in him. And by this we know. Do you know this? Are you convicted of this? Are you fully assured of this? That he is dwelling in us by the Spirit which he has given to us. Now let's come to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Now this would be very enlightening indeed. Let's see what Jesus said. Let's use this as a measure of our lives. Not just to you, but to me and to everyone else. What is your relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ? What did Jesus say? What did he teach? He certainly didn't teach that he did away with the laws and commandments of God. And yet billions of people believe it. And even the Catholics say, we don't even need the Bible. Really? Why did God give the Bible? Did he give it in vain then? Are human beings so great that they can, just with the flip of a hand, do away with God? Let's see what Jesus said, verse 15. If you love me, keep the commandments, namely mine. Do you love Jesus? Do you keep his commandments? Do you remember who Jesus was? The Lord God of the Old Testament? That includes those commandments, does it not? That includes the Sabbath, does it not? Didn't Jesus say that he was Lord of the Sabbath day? Yes, he did. And I will ask the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that it may be with you throughout the age, even the Spirit of truth. God will give you his Holy Spirit. If you repent and are baptized and love him and keep his commandments, you will have the Holy Spirit of God. Says the world can't receive it because it doesn't know him, because the world is rebellious and rejecting the word of God, even though they are professing the word of God. It's just like a dyed-in-the-wool Marxist saying, I believe in democracy. Someone says, I'm a Christian, but I'm throwing out all the commandments of God. Well, you're throwing out Christ as well. Verse 21, the one who has my commandments and is keeping them, present tense active, that is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. How is God going to manifest himself to you? How's Christ going to do that? Through his word and through his Spirit. How's that going to operate? Verse 23, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Do you keep the word of Christ? And that means his whole message? Now notice you have to keep the word of Jesus first. And my Father will love him. Do you want God the Father, the sovereign of the whole universe, to love you? Yes, indeed. What will happen then? Spiritually, through the Spirit of truth, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Isn't that something? That's true conversion. Now notice verse 24, and we'll end here. Ask yourself this question. The one who does not love me does not keep my words. Use that as a test. Take this verse and examine your life. Examine the Ten Commandments, Old and New Testament. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So if you reject the Sabbath, you're rejecting God the Father. You don't have God the Father. You have a religion of profession. You have a religion of deception. You have another Jesus. You have another God. You have a counterfeit that isn't going to bring you salvation. Have you ever thought of it that way? Do you think that anyone is going to receive salvation who goes contrary to the Word of God? Do you think that anyone is going to be granted eternal life who rejects the teachings and commandments of God? Who rejects the Bible? Oh, they read their little parts out of the Bible. That's why I gave a sermon here, and you can go on cbcg.org and you can listen to it. It's called the Evangelical Bible, a fast track to salvation. 2 verses. And they reject all the rest of it. Do you suppose that God has inspired the Bible to be the greatest selling book in all the history of the world? In vain? Why did he do it? It's a witness, number one, instruction book, number two, and salvation, number three, depending on what you do. Why don't you take up the challenge? Why don't you keep the Sabbath, every Sabbath, sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, for a month, and study the Sabbath, and learn why that is a blessed day of God? Thank you for having me into your home. Remember to visit our other website, cbcg.org, and there you can download hundreds of studies, transcripts, lots of other information. And so this is Fred Coulter saying, until next time, so long, everyone.